howdy, this is Bob Anero with today's edition of Concert Billboard for Tuesday, November 4th, 2008. Tonight, Mr. Lift at the Knitting Factory in New York City. The Black Crowes at Town Hall in New York City. Tomorrow night, November 5th, Wednesday, Elisa at the Bowery Ballroom. War at B.B. King's. Bad Brains at the Fillmore, New York at Irving Plaza. Dean Field, Sherry Miller, and Chris Kubica at Deep Wells Mansion. And coming up Thursday, November 6th, the Drive-By Truckers and the Hold Steady at Terminal 5. Live in the lobby at Patchogue Theater for the Performing Arts featuring Return to the Dream, and that's a 7:30 p.m. show. And don't forget, this is Election Day, November 4th. Get out there and vote early, vote often. Very important that you make your voice heard no matter who you're supporting. And again, it's also Fall Radiothon, so vote with your wallet too. Give us a call and make a pledge at 631-632-6901 or 632-WUSB. We will be happy you did it, and I'm sure you will be too. Thank you once again for listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Ah, thanks for the abrupt ending there. And this is WUSB Stony Brook. It's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock, except if you look at the other clock where it's 2 minutes after 7 o'clock. Someone needs to change that. It's time for Off the Wall. And the very good thing to everybody, the program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Hussein Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Yeah, that's right, I said it. And I changed the clock, too. I reached over at great personal risk and changed the analog clock, which was telling the wrong time for a few days now. You got to do things yourself around here. I don't know if anybody can fix the heat situation. And for some reason, it's 95 degrees in the studio. But that's okay. It's a small sacrifice to pay for being able to sit here as an American and encourage you to exercise your rights. You got something to say, Spiny? You got something to, some right of yours to exercise?
No, I was just going to put the CD away, but you got to do it yourself.
I got to do what myself? I did it myself.
The heat. Fix the heat yourself.
Oh, what? I have to figure it out?
Do everything here for you?
Is it some kind of Dungeons and Dragons
heat.
Adventure?
On,
I've got to figure
on,
out
get
the...
Get on the ball here.
Fine. Maybe I'll throw some fairy dust up in the air and some magic spell will...
Good work for the clock.
No, I reached over and almost fell over myself. And look, the clock's not telling the right time. That's what you have to do around here.
You monkeyed with it.
Listen.
Don't touch things.
We don't have time for this because we only have less than an hour. We have election night coverage coming up at 7, special election night coverage. This is not the special election night coverage. It's just regular, mundane commentary. You voted, right, Spiny?
See, I got a blue
flame. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Okay. I voted too, and so did Finn. We all voted.
Did you get your free coffee?
You could get free coffee there? Nobody offered me free coffee. See, I don't know about the deals. The guy did ask me to verify my address. I don't know if they're allowed to do that. But, you know, I probably would have caused a scene if I refused. So, whatever. Yeah, if you haven't already, no matter where you're listening to me from, well, of course, assuming you're inside the country, that is, and you're a citizen, go out and vote. Doesn't matter what state you're in. You know what? It doesn't matter what state you're in personally, if you're inebriated or whatever. It doesn't matter what state physically you're in, if you're in Idaho or whatnot. Get out there and voice your opinion. No matter what your opinion is, whether or not anything I've said over the past couple of years has had any bearing whatsoever, or, you know, whether or not you actually paid attention. Just vote your conscience. Vote however you feel, because that's what matters. I did that a few hours ago. I was expecting a huge wait. I was expecting all kinds of drama. And as always, I just walk into the little schoolhouse where I've been voting for years and cast my ballot. No line. Maybe two people in front of you. Nothing to speak of. And you simply sign your name. You know, I gotta wonder, though. There's a whole big thing about not having to show ID when you vote. And I support that, because for a lot of people, even getting ID could be a hard task to perform, especially if you are destitute or housebound or whatnot. But all you have to do, you just have to say your name. In my case, I had to say my address, but I've never had to say that before. And then you sign your name. But you sign your name next to another signature of yours. Now, I'm not really big into the forgery business, but what I'd like to know is, how hard is it for you when you see something right next to you to forge that signature live on the spot? You know? It just seems very insecure. It really does. I don't know how many times you could waltz into the same place and vote over and over again, picking random names and signing as close as you can get, but sure seems like the possibility is open. But in any event, the whole voting thing took place. We have our dear old mechanical machines. We still have them here in New York. And it just feels so good. It feels like you're actually doing something. Now, of course, there's no way to know for sure if you're actually pushing those levers that actually means anything. But you don't get the same kind of stupid breakdowns and massive fraud that you apparently get in other systems. And you also don't get people taking a huge amount of time to figure it out, because it's pretty simple and straightforward. You just push the lever next to the name of the person that you want to vote for. If you tried pushing a lever for another person running for the same office, it doesn't go down. It's very simple, but very easy to understand at the same time. So, yeah, it's what I grew up on. They keep wanting to change it, and now New York is the only state left that has these machines. If you voted someplace else, invariably you voted for you voted on a different system, and we're going to be exploring some of the issues that took place. But I got to tell you, when I actually went into the booth, I don't know, did anybody else feel this incredible wave of emotion as I actually, well, I played around. I actually flipped the McCain switch just once to see what it felt like. But when I actually flipped the switch of the candidate I did want, I don't know, for some reason, everything up until that point, the years of the campaign and the primaries and the accusations and the back and forth and the media analysis and the whole world paying attention to this, it all came down to that one moment where I simply flipped the lever. And that, my friends, that was the... Oh my God, I'm sounding like McCain again. That was the first moment when anybody ever actually asked me what my opinion was. I mean, isn't that weird? You go through the entire process. It's been about 2 years now. And we come down to these two candidates, but this is the first moment where a citizen is asked, well, what do you think about all this? Now, of course, not being a member of a political party, I'm not able to vote in the primaries, which I think is unfair. And in fact, I think the whole system is a bit messed up. But I don't know, it just felt very emotional to actually finally have that decisive moment where I voiced my opinion. And from what I'm hearing, other people felt the same way. I've heard some news reports about people just noticing the emotion. And never before, we've covered elections before on this program and on others, never before have so many people taken a strong interest in this. And you got to wonder, what's that going to mean? Are these people going to take an interest and remain interested? This is how I respond to people who ask the question, what difference does it make? It's all the same. No matter who you vote for, just going to get the same Washington mechanism in place. All the corrupt politicians will keep their jobs and be replaced by other corrupt politicians who will keep doing the same thing. The status quo will remain intact. Okay, fine, whatever. You know, I can't imagine how anybody can get through a day thinking like that all the time. You have to have hope, even if it's naive hope. You have to have some semblance of hope that something can change. Now, worst case scenario, Barack Obama is no different. Well, I mean, that's not even possible. Not very much different than previous recent leaders, one in particular. Let's just say he's not all that great. Worst case scenario. Well then, how about all this? How about this feeling? How about all the people lining up for hours to vote? How about the tremendous sense of empowerment that people who have never had that feeling before are having right now? And will, in all likelihood, have a great deal later on tonight. Does that mean nothing? Maybe it's us who will change, not them. So that's why you hold out hope, because one way or another, something's going to change. And right now, you know, no matter who gets into power, it's going to be different than the last 8 years. And I think what a lot of people are realizing now, it's sort of hitting them. Maybe that's part of the emotional aspect of going into the polling booth. It's hitting them that it's over. These last 8 years are over. Now, of course, the rest of the world might ask us, you know, this isn't like the reign of Stalin or something like that. You morons voted for the guy and you put him in office twice, regardless of whether or not it was a close race or a fraudulent race. Enough of you put him in power. And that's true. Lots of times people make mistakes in very large numbers. I think now the American public realizes, you know, we're a bit slow. It's like a 200 car freight train trying to stop. It takes a lot of time. You know, you can stop very quickly on a bicycle, all right? But when you're that massive and that long, it takes time. So a bunch of us started to apply the brakes back in 2001. It took until now for the train to finally come to a halt. I think people get it now. I think people realize that this was bad. This was a really bad time on so many levels. And I think by pulling the levers or pressing the buttons or whatever it is they did today, they felt this sense that, yeah, the end is in sight and something better is coming. And something better has to come. How much worse can it possibly get? All right, well, we might find out fairly soon what's going on. I kind of hope not. I mean, much as I obviously want Obama to win, I kind of don't want him to win too quickly, because I have to be at a party, and it's in New York City, and I want to get there before anything actually happens. Yes, I'm selfish. If people out there could just refrain from announcing if he won until, you know, say 9:30, that'd be perfect, you know. But I'm just afraid someone's going to spill the beans at 7, you know, right after I get off the air. And I mean, think of the people on the West Coast. Think of the people in Alaska. Oh, okay, don't think about them. Think about the people in Hawaii, you know? Yeah. And let their vote count for something before we actually say who the winner is. But here's what to watch out for. If you look at Indiana, now the polls are going to close at 6. Actually, they did close. Wow. Polls are closed in Indiana. Let's see if we can call the race. Hang on, I'm opening up Mozilla here. Yeah, polls closed in Indiana at 6 p.m. That state is neck and neck. Now, if Obama wins, or even if he's very, very close, that's a good sign for him, because it's mostly a Republican state. Now, some Democratic consultants, particularly this one commenting in the New York Times, say if Obama wins Indiana, the election is over. Even if it's close, within 2 or 3 points, it probably suggests a big Obama win nationally. If it's more than 4 points for McCain, it's going to be wait and see for a while. And if you looked at that small town in New Hampshire, which somehow gets away with voting at midnight every election year, it was a blowout for Obama. Usually they vote Republican. And it was something like 15-6 for Obama. So that's something. Okay, I'm looking at CNN now, and they have... okay, here are the latest results. 0% for Obama and 0% for McCain. So it is still a very, very tight race. And we'll be keeping an eye on that as as the numbers continue to pour in. The next round of tests is at 7 p.m. That's our time, Eastern Time. When voting ends in Georgia, parts of Florida, and the battleground state of Virginia. If Obama wins Virginia by a decisive margin, it's a pretty strong suggestion he's going to win the election. If McCain wins by more than a few points, that could suggest movement toward him. Spiny, you have updated figures for us? You just rushed in here.
Sure, apparently there's an election going on.
Okay, thank you. As always, right in the thick of things. And we're supposed to be taking pledges tonight, too, aren't we? You know, I'll announce the phone number. I will.
Yeah.
I promise.
Well, I'm taking off, so I won't.
You're taking off? Well, is it because I didn't announce the phone number?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hot and bothered.
All right. See, this is what happens. You lose people if you don't pay attention. Okay, well...
You're not going to celebrate with us tonight, huh?
Well, I'm going to be celebrating for the entire city of New York. We're going to be celebrating the fact that the election's over. That's what we're going to be celebrating. Not necessarily one candidate winning over another. What are we going to do? What are we going to talk about now? This... Nothing to talk about. No election. It's over. I mean, people are going to have to go to therapy to figure out what to talk about. You're just realizing this now, aren't you? I can tell by the stunned silence that, yeah. All right, Smiley. Hear the fan? I mean, we have to have fans going in this place because it's so damn hot in here. But that's what happens. I don't know why that happens, but it does. Okay, so anyway, I don't know why these states close so damn early, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. We don't close till 9 p.m. That's right. State of New York, we never sleep. 7:30 p.m., Ohio and North Carolina close. Now, obviously, those are important states as well. And by 8 p.m., all polls in Florida will be closed. And by the end of the year, they expect to count everything. Yeah, so there's all kinds of things to watch out for. We could very well know the results in the next hour or two. If we don't watch out, we'll know sooner than we think. As we mentioned, there were a bunch of problems. Get this, damp ballots. Yes, damp ballots caused problems in rainy weather on Tuesday in Virginia and North Carolina, while other states reported minor glitches with long lines and mechanical breakdowns. Now, you know, I've never seen a mechanical breakdown with the crazy mechanical machines we have. And if there is a mechanical breakdown, they have other machines, so... Never seems to be a big deal. But get this. In Virginia, it was water dripping from voters onto the optical scan paper ballots that made the ballot impossible to scan. Like they've never thought of this before. Oh, my God. So all these people have to have their ballots dry before they can be tabulated. So they have a box filled with damp ballots now. Because it was rain. It's unbelievable. Why do they mess with things that work? Introduce these systems where they just don't think it through. A little bit of water can completely mess things up. In the Cleveland suburb of Shaker Heights, a caller reported that ballots didn't include the page to vote for president. They had a two-page ballot, apparently, this from CNN. Now, in Missouri, another battleground state, at least three precincts in Kansas City's 5th Ward received the wrong registration books from election officials. Yeah, they mixed up the precinct and sequence numbers when the books were assembled. They looked like the right books, they said, but that when the judges opened them this morning, no, these pages aren't the right pages. Maybe they should have opened them yesterday morning. Huh? There's a thought for you. In Palm Beach County, Florida, machines were rejecting incomplete ballots, but the ballots were accepted after voters affirmed that they had intended to abstain on the races they left blank. You know, I've never been asked, are you sure, when voting? It's obvious. You throw down the levers, and it's obvious what you've done, and when you push the big red handle and the bell rings and the curtain opens, you're done. So you don't do that until you're sure you're done. And then, of course, we also had instances of attempts to misinform voters. Yeah, these are classic. People in Texas, Missouri, Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas reported receiving text messages telling Democrats to vote on Wednesday, the day after the election. How thick do you have to be to fall for something like that? First of all, how would they know which way you're going to be voting for? Yeah, I mean, people receive text messages, one of which supposedly seemed to come from CNN, saying Obama voters should vote on Wednesday. I mean, you know, if you believe that, you should vote on Wednesday. Really, if you're that dumb, that you actually believe that, A, they know who you're going to vote for, and B, that there's different voting days for different people based on who they're going to vote for. Yeah, you know, I don't think you're quite ready for the democratic process. You need to be building up your brain cells a little more. So, yeah, there's a bunch of those shenanigans going on out there. An email circulated in Arkansas, robocalls in Missouri, also told voters they should cast their ballots on Wednesday. You know, I haven't gotten a single robocall, not one. And a fair minimum amount of political mail, too, I got to say. I guess people think I don't care. Now, Missouri Secretary of State Robin Carnahan said in the news release, I have no tolerance for anyone intentionally causing confusion on Election Day. Every eligible Missourian should be able to cast their ballot today, and my office will immediately respond to any reports of misinformation. Anyone attempting to deprive voters of their rights on Election Day will be prosecuted. Okay, you know what, Carnahan? Got a question for you. Is lying now a felony? Is simply telling somebody something that's not true? I mean, I'm not in favor of people being misled, but there's a certain amount of foolishness that you have to overcome in order to be able to get by on a daily basis. All right, everybody in the state of Texas, Election Day is Thursday. There, I just said it and I'm on the radio, so I carry a certain air of authority. Now, what kind of crime have I just committed? If you're dumb enough to believe me, and those of you in Texas that are voting for McCain, yes, vote on Thursday, thank you. And here's something else. Those of you who are supporting Obama, signify this tomorrow by driving with your headlights on. And those of you voting for McCain, signify that tomorrow night by driving with your headlights off. Huh? How's that? Oh, how much trouble am I in now? Good thing I don't live in Missouri. So seriously, folks, don't believe things you're told without questioning, ever. Okay, here's something else. This is classic. In New York City, actor Tim Robbins reported that his name was not on the register. I'm just waiting for an explanation. I want a real explanation, and I want that explanation for the hundreds and thousands of people in my district and throughout the city who are experiencing the same thing today. It sounds like he's running for office. Well, Tim Robbins, you know what? I took the liberty of looking you up on the online system, which we talked about in previous weeks, and I found you based on your birth date in Wikipedia. I saw your address on West 19th Street. I see that you're registered as a Democrat. Your voter status is active. And you were supposed to vote at, where's the Andrew High School Libraries, where you're supposed to vote. That's on 40 West 20th Street. Now, I don't have Tim Robbins' phone number handy, so if somebody out there does, please let him know this, because this is the information that the Board of Elections has. And everybody can read it. Everybody can look at this. Happy to help. It's pretty funny, though, how you can go to a polling place and they can't help you. I guess they don't have internet access there. Okay, before we go any further, important order of business. We are in the middle of a fundraiser. God knows why we're raising money on Election Day, but we have to. We have to. It's important. It's our survival. And I know people were complaining that they weren't able to get the Hope DVD set that we were offering last week because they didn't listen to the show between 6 and 7. Well, folks, here's your chance, okay? Here's your chance to get 100 DVDs for a pledge of $250. 100 DVDs, each with something uniquely different on them. What's on them, you may ask? Well, if you're familiar with what we've been doing over the past few years, you know that we run hacker conferences every 2 years, known as Hackers on Planet Earth, or HOPE for short. And the most recent one was called The Last HOPE, took place in July. We had Stephen Levy giving a keynote. We had Jello Biafra there. We had all kinds of fascinating speakers, and hence over 100 DVDs. And these are not yet available to the public, but when they are, they'll be available for a lot more, for all those DVDs. We're doing this as a special gift to WUSB. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. That's 631-632-WUSB. If you call in the next 34 minutes and pledge $250, you can receive those 100 DVDs of the full Last HOPE conference. It's an amazing offer. And when we did this at WBAI about a month ago, the phones were ringing off the hook, no pun intended. So why not give us a call and support the radio station? That's the most important thing, is to support us, to make sure that the signal remains on, and that programs like this one and the many other programs that take place during a normal listening week continue to be pumped out to this particular section of Long Island, and hence to the Internet and the world and posterity. 631-632-9872. Again, $250 gets you a 100 DVD set. Unparalleled. Unbelievable deal. I can't believe we're even offering this. Now, for those of you who don't want to pledge quite that much, and I should point out that we do take credit cards to ease the pain a little bit, and also to add to the national debt or whatever happens when you use credit cards. We have another deal. For $75, you'll get the special clothing deal, where you'll get two hooded sweatshirts. One of them a WUSB hooded sweatshirt, one of them a 2600 magazine hooded sweatshirt, and on top of that, you'll get the brand new 2600 telephone security t-shirt in the size of your choice. That's for a pledge of $75 to 631-632-9872. Nobody's calling. Can you believe that? I know it takes a minute or two for the worst to get out to the Internet, but seriously, nobody's calling. I mean, what does that say? It says that even when you give things away, people don't care. It's just, it's an astounding amount of apathy. I know our signal is getting out live to people listening to the radio station, and that's all of you in Suffolk County, various other parts of this particular section of the globe. You just have to give us a call, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Those of you in other parts of the world, you're most welcome to call us as well, because I know people listen to this station from everywhere. All right, I see a call coming in. I want to thank that person for calling. Keep the tally staff busy, but we have four more lines. Yes, I'd like to see all five of the lines ringing at once. Really, give the people in the tally room a run for their money. 631-632-9872. And you can make a big difference. The real reason for this, folks, is not just to make the phone ring. It's not just to get the DVDs. It's to pitch in and keep non-commercial radio coming your way. It's a very serious matter that we face because, well, we don't have commercials. We don't want to have commercials. We're not allowed to have commercials. But if we did, we wouldn't be able to have programs like this, for sure. And we wouldn't be able to have programs like so many of the other kind that are aired throughout a typical broadcast week. You wouldn't hear all sorts of music that's first broken on this particular radio station. You wouldn't hear controversial commentaries. You wouldn't hear me say things like Microsoft sucks. Couldn't say that. Couldn't say George W. Bush should be tried for war crimes. Couldn't say that on a commercial radio station. All kinds of things you can't get away with, because you risk pissing off the sponsors. Yeah, you couldn't even say pissing off, I don't think. There's all kinds of things, all kinds of regulations, all kinds of controls and censorship. And that's what money does. Money from the wrong people. Money that you're basically enslaved for accepting. See, here at this place, we have a philosophy where we're all in it together. Listeners, programmers, whatnot. Many is the time we open up the phone lines and listeners call in, and they do radio for a while. And that's the way this place has existed since 1977, against all the odds. So I just want to thank all the people who have ever called up, because it's because of you we're here today. And it's because of the people calling in now that we'll be here tomorrow. 631-632-9872. And I should also point out that if you're not a particular fan of the hacker world or anything that 2600 is offering and donating to the station, there are all kinds of other things that we have here at WUSB. All kinds of other things. All you have to do is give us a call, and our friendly tally people in the tally room will answer the phones and guide you and find you something that will really make you happy. As if pledging to this place won't make you happy enough. It will, trust me, because I've done things like this to other stations and to this station, and it's just it's really cool to know that you're helping. You're helping to keep the place afloat. And at a small station like this, every little bit really, really counts. In ways you just cannot imagine. Every time the phone rings, it causes excitement, and you have that power. So once again, 631-632-9872 for a pledge of $250. Sounds like a lot, but think about what you get for this. You'll get 100 DVDs filled with all kinds of talks and information from our most recent hacker conference. You'll see talks on social engineering. You'll see talks on lockpicking, phone phreaking, breaking into various computer systems, securing various computer systems. You'll hear from Robert Steele, former CIA operative. You'll hear from Steve Rombaum, a private investigator extraordinaire. You'll hear from all kinds of hackers who are among the brightest people on the planet. You'll learn so much. And this will while away many a rainy or snowy night and day and whatever else. 100 DVDs. Simply, it's staggering. But you got to call now. You got to call before 7 p.m. Eastern Time on this November 4th, 2008. 631-632-WUSB. 631-632-9872. And again, we have the clothing package for $75. We have two sweatshirts, one from WUSB, one from 2600, two hooded sweatshirts, and one 2600 t-shirt, the newest one with telephone security and all kinds of ways that phone calls can be intercepted. But again, give us a call. We've had a bunch of calls come in, and I want to thank those people who called in. But please keep those phones ringing. Keep those phones ringing, because it matters. It really matters. Just like in an election, every vote counts, it does in the end. It may not feel that way sometimes, but think of how we got to this stage. We got to this stage by people talking to other people and creating momentum. And then that results in something incredible, something huge. You can do the same thing here. Be a part of that. 631-632-9872. Please show your support. Keep this place going. All right. Thanks to those people who have called in. Getting back to what's been going on. You know, it's also, if you haven't voted, get out, unless you're in Indiana, in which case it's too late. Just get out there and vote, even if you have to wait online. It's part of the process. It's something you'll feel good about. Voicing your opinion and showing support, those are two things that I think really matter more than anything else. Couple of things went across my mind, though, standing in the poll today, standing in the mechanical voting machine poll, polling place. So good to just hear that sound, you know, hear the clicking and just the mechanics of it all. Yeah, it's, people told me, they said that it's going away, not going to have it, and yet it's still here somehow. It's still here. Unbelievable. But standing there, I was looking at the various things to vote for. First of all, I have a rule. I never vote for somebody who's running on all the parties. So a lot of these district judges, they're running on Democratic, they're running on Republican, they're running on Conservative, they're running on Liberal, all of them. And nobody else is running against them. No, I'm not playing that game. Sorry. So I just abstain from those. If anybody else was running, seriously, anybody else, you blew it because people like me would just vote for them out of principle. How can you be on all the parties at once? It's just not right. Something wrong with that. There's another candidate. I won't say his name, but I will say that some lame brain has been going around, I think a bunch of lame brains actually, been going around town, going around the whole county, I think, sticking up signs saying that this guy wants open borders. And then they put his name, they go, this guy equals illegal aliens. I'm like, okay, you know what? You sold me. You sold me because you are such dimwits that you go around spewing forth hatred like this. Then this guy must be doing something right to annoy you. So, yeah, I don't know how many other people were convinced by these ignorant signs out there. I am just so opposed to all the anti-immigrant feelings. And it goes beyond illegal immigration and steps right into immigration, period, because they don't want too many of a certain type of people around. All you have to do is talk to people like this in the bar for a little bit of time, and it always comes out that that's what they're about in the end. They think it's disproportionately slanted towards one group of people over another, and that group of people is multiplying too fast. We've heard it all before. I think, you know, open borders, I said this last week, would not be such a bad thing. It would actually maybe equalize things a bit, make it better for us as well. But that's a whole other discussion. It's just the... I don't know. It's just the reaction that these people have. A lot of jingoistic nonsense. I don't even have a problem with the phrase illegal alien because I know a lot of people do. They say, how can a person be illegal? And I understand that viewpoint totally. But I think when you start calling somebody an alien, you've already crossed into the land of silliness and you might as well heap on all kinds of other nonsensical words as well. So illegal alien just is a crazy-sounding term. And I don't think it's really offensive. However, I was listening to conservative radio the other day, and I do this just so I know what they're up to. I know the kinds of things that they're saying and what they're thinking about. It's always eye-opening. It's always really staggering, some of the things that come out of these people's mouths. They belittle anybody who disagrees with them. You know, they try to mock them. They try to make them stammer and ask some questions that have nothing to do with the topic at hand, but if they can't answer it, then that proves that they're wrong. Stuff like that. It's almost painful to listen to. But one thing they said in particular that really got my goat was referring to this latest controversy involving Barack Obama's aunt, who supposedly is in this country without the proper papers. She's supposed to have gone back to her country. And I guess he didn't know about this. In fact, I don't think very many people did know about this. It's kind of interesting how it just came out now. But they referred to her as Obama's illegal aunt. And, you know, that, my friends, that is offensive. An illegal aunt. I mean, good Lord. What a way to completely dehumanize somebody. So that's the step that they take into the land of offensiveness. So yeah, I was thinking about that. I was also thinking about something else in the booth. Oh, thank you. Who we want to give thanks to here? We want to thank Michael from Chicago. Thank you very much, Ed from Setauket. All right, so we have somebody from far away and somebody from nearby. Thank you, thank you, Finn. And our phone number still remains 63269. Actually, I'm giving the old phone number 63. Okay, let me start again with the area code first. Area code 631-632-9872. Actually, the other number still works, but 632-6901 still works as well, but let's not confuse people with too many phone numbers. 631-632-9872. Please give a call and show your support for the radio station. You'll feel better. Okay, so the other thing I was thinking about in the polling booth was all the other parties that are out there. They have this long row, long column of different parties, and of course, it's always Democrat and Republican that people remember. But there are a ton of other ones as well. And the one that struck me, the one that usually does strike me, is the Green Party. Now, the Green Party had Cynthia McKinney, who I would not vote for in 100 years. I'm sorry, I think she's a lunatic, but regardless. regardless about that. They had her running for president, and nobody else in any of the races. Now that, my friends, I'm saying this way too much. I'm saying my friends so much. I must have been watching too many McCain speeches because I can't stop saying it. I'll get it out of my system somehow. That is the problem. Because what they did was they put all their effort into a race that they don't have a chance of winning. They don't have a chance of coming in second place, and probably not even third place. Because Ralph Nader's probably going to come in third place, and he's not in the Green Party anymore. The way to affect change is locally. I mean, haven't we learned this yet? So if the Green Party had been running candidates across the board for these smaller positions, state legislature, state assembly, state senators, sheriffs, judges, whatnot, I would have voted for them across the board. And I think a lot of other people would have. I certainly would have voted for them if they were the other party and that guy was running on the Democrat, Republican, conservative, and liberal. Every time. And then when you get a whole bunch of green representatives serving locally, then you start moving towards a stage where you can run a national candidate and it actually might make a difference. All that happens now, when you wind up with 1 or 2% of the vote, is everybody feels dejected, and they feel like change can never happen. And I have to wonder, is that the goal? Is that the goal, to make it feel like change can never happen? I think with some people it is. Some people like to feel depressed and miserable. I'm not saying the Green Party likes to feel that way, but come on, guys, you gotta get out there more. Other parts of the world, this is happening. In Canada, this is happening. All throughout Europe, this is happening. Not to see a single green candidate anywhere on the ballot except for president, the one office that, not a snowball's chance in 100 hells. Sad. All right. Then, of course, we had the prank call incident. Oh, this was precious. Everybody hear this? I'm not going to play it because everyone's playing it, and you can find it very easily. Just go online and search for Palin prank call, and I'm sure you'll find an MP3 or something. But Sarah Palin unwittingly, you know, isn't that kind of redundant? Isn't that kind of, yeah, you know, I am being nasty to her because I genuinely don't like her, I don't think. McCain actually is a nice guy. I watched him on Saturday Night Live the other night, and he just seems like, you know, I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry. He should not be in this position. The Republican Party has put this guy in this position where he has to stay up really late at night and talk a lot of people, talk all this nonsense to them over and over again. And it's almost like he's taking the fall for the Republican Party. I mean, A, there's no way this race could have been won, I don't think. And B, this seems like there are so many missteps. You have to wonder, what kind of advice has he been getting? It's almost intentional. That's the conspiracy part of me speaking. That it just seems like, my God, I could have run a better campaign than this. And somehow, every single move that this guy makes is the wrong move. Whether it's stopping the campaign to come to Washington to fix the economy, picking Sarah Palin, saying the economy is in good shape, all kinds of things like that, just bad moves. But then you see him on Saturday Night Live, and he just seems like a good-natured person who can laugh at himself. After this is over, hopefully everybody can be friends. We'll see. Anyway, so Sarah Palin, though, on the other hand, boy, you know, and she represents the new Republican Party. I'm afraid of this. I'm laughing at it, but I'm also afraid of it. You gotta wonder just what people are thinking. She unwittingly took a prank call Saturday from a Canadian comedian posing as French President Nicolas Sarkozy and telling her she would make a good president someday. She said, maybe in 8 years, while tittering. And, you know, that's the thing. You heard her picking up the phone. And basically, a campaign aide had given her the phone, and they were just sort of laughing and giggling, like they were at a fraternity party or something. Or a sorority party. Well, they could be at a fraternity party, too. Whatever. It just didn't seem like very professional sounding. They were just passing the phone back and forth. And in the end, it turned out to be a fake phone call. But not before she went through, it must have been at least, 5 or 6 minutes of banter with this person who, you know, any idiot could have told that this was not the president of France. Just from the way he was talking, saying that his wife is good in bed or something like, you know, this, yeah, they're French, but you know what? There's certain things that I'm sure the president of France would not say when calling a vice presidential candidate. The fake Sarkozy told Palin that one of his favorite pastimes is hunting, which is also a passion of Sarah Palin. I just love killing those animals. Take away life. That is so fun, fake Sarkozy says. He proposes they go hunting together by helicopter, something he says he has never done. And Palin says, well, I think we could have a lot of fun together while we're getting work done. We can kill two birds with one stone that way. It's funny, but she was serious. That's the thing. Playing off the governor's much mocked comment in an early television interview that she had insights into foreign policy because you can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska, the fake Sarkozy said, you know, we have a lot in common also because from my house I can see Belgium. That's right. And she replies, well, see, we're right next door to different countries that we all need to be working with, yes. Oh yeah, amazing. Palin praises Sarkozy throughout the call and also mentions his wife, Carla Bruni, a model-turned-songwriter. You know, I look forward to working with you and getting to meet you personally and your beautiful wife. Oh my goodness, you've added a lot of energy to your country with that beautiful family of yours. And the Sarkozy impersonator at that point says that his wife is so hot in bed and then informs her that she has written a song for Palin about Joe the Plumber, entitled Du Rouge à Lèvres Sur un cochon, I believe, which translates as lipstick on a pig. Oh, boy. I just, you couldn't make this stuff up. This is real life. The caller then asks, or the fake Sarkozy then asks, asks Palin if Joe the Plumber is her husband, and adds, we have the equivalent of Joe the Plumber in France. It's called Marcel, the guy with bread under his armpit. He also tells the Alaska governor that he loved the documentary made about her and referred to a pornographic film with a Palin lookalike made by Hustler founder Larry Flint. She answers tentatively, oh, good, thank you, yes. That's when the caller revealed the prank. They identify themselves as from a Canadian radio station. And Palin says, oh, have we been pranked? Before handing the phone to the same person who originally picked it up and handed it to her. And that person really sounded a bit upset. Really, really upset, and just ends the call at that point. Unbelievable. And the best part of this story from the Associated Press, the best part of this story is in the last line. The comment from Obama's campaign spokesman, Robert Gibbs, saying, I'm glad we check out our calls before we hand the phone to Barack Obama. Oh, yeah. That's right. I mean, what does that tell you? That somebody would simply pick up the phone like that and believe, without question, what they're being told? Hey, has anybody tried sending a text message to Sarah Palin saying voting day is on Thursday? I bet it would work. All right, let's check out the latest polls. Going to CNN website here. Any difference? Loading the web page. Okay, and here are the updated figures. 0% for Obama, 0% for McCain. Yeah, the first exit polls reflect what voters have said all along. The economy is by far the top issue. I'm not going to say issue number one because that's a CNN program and they keep saying that over and over again just so everybody says that and promotes the program. I'm not going to say that. So that's basically all they know right now. The latest polls that that I looked at last week we had Obama leading McCain in electoral votes 340 to 153. This week it's tightened up quite a bit, 268 to 213. But that was somewhat expected. Races tend to tighten up a bit as they draw to a conclusion. All right. Again, we're in the last 10 minutes of the show. I want to encourage people, please give a call to the radio station and show your support. Keep this place going, because without it, I think there'd be a certain void in your life and in many people's lives, certainly in mine. 631-632-9872 is our phone number, and again, we're offering as a special bonus to anybody who calls up and pledges $250. You can use a credit card, you can pay by check, do whatever. Anybody who pledges that amount of money, which is a significant amount for us, very significant, you will get 100 DVDs of the entire Hope Conference, Hackers on Planet Earth, took place in July in New York City, held by 2600 Magazine. All kinds of fascinating talks, and you'll be educated beyond your wildest dreams. But you have to call in the next 9 minutes, 631-632-9872, to take advantage of that. We only offer that during this program. And again, we also are offering the special clothing deal, also just offered for the next 9 minutes. For $75, you'll get a WUSB hooded sweatshirt, you'll get a 2600 hooded sweatshirt, that's two hooded sweatshirts, and in addition to that, you'll get a brand new 2600 t-shirt, which details all the ways that telephone calls can be intercepted, legally and illegally. $75 pledge, 631-632-9872. If you've ever gotten anything out of this program, out of this station, out of non-commercial radio in general, you should understand the significance, the importance of listeners. They all matter. They all count. They all vote one way or another. And there are investors. They're the people that keep us afloat. Since 2003, we've been on this particular radio show, and we've seen the world change quite a bit in that period of time. The beginning days of the Iraq invasion, till this evening, this very evening, where I have a feeling we're going to be turning a corner in this country, and it's going to be a very interesting period of time. Think of the significance. Think of how we are going to look to the rest of the world. Think how we're going to look to ourselves and in the eyes of history to be able to radically change. And it is, no matter how you view politics in general, this is a radical change. To vote an African-American into office, to vote somebody who is being defined as one of the most liberal people in Congress, to vote somebody who is so different from George W. Bush and the people who have been in power before. It says that we can think differently, to a degree at least. It's a step. It's not all the steps that everybody wants to take at once, obviously not. That's not possible. But it is a step. It's a good step. And it's going to result in a very different culture around here. I mean, I'm actually finding myself listening to the speeches that he gives. I like the sound of his voice. He can articulate. He can string a sentence together. He can say something that makes sense. Now, of course, if you've been listening to the campaign speeches over the past couple of weeks, I don't even know why they air them on television. I don't even know why they give them, to be honest. Do you realize they give the same speeches over and over again? Every single time. I've heard Obama say, you don't have to boo, you just have to vote. I've heard him say, if you make under $250,000, you will not see your taxes go up by one dime. He said that same line over and over again. And McCain does the same thing, and Palin does the same thing, and Biden does the same thing. They all do this. It's part of the whole political rhetoric. Giving the same speech. I guess it's not possible to give a different speech when you're giving 10 of them a day. I guess that's not possible. Still, you can mix the words up a little bit, but whatever. That's the way it is. Why show that on television over and over again? You know, we get the gist of it. Why not just tape a speech for television and show that over and over again? It's the same thing, the same words. Just makes them seem completely unimaginative, which maybe they are. Maybe that's the point. But the other thing I don't understand is why give the speeches in the first place in front of all these people who are already your supporters? What you should do, this is what you guys should have done. You simply come out of a Metro North train in the middle of Grand Central Station and stand up on a soapbox and start talking. Because you have no idea who's going to be there. All right? And just see what kind of reaction you get. Give the speech. See if you get shouted down. See if you get cheered. You know? But if you're already, if you're in a place packed with your supporters, What do you expect them to do? You know they're going to start chanting "Drill, baby, drill" you're McCain and you start talking about drilling. You know they're going to start chanting "USA, USA" at some point. And they have similar types of chants, I'm sure, in the Obama field. I haven't seen very many of them. But the point is, it's predictable. It shouldn't be that predictable. Here's one thing that's not that predictable. White supremacist for Obama. Yeah. Eric Glibe, chairman of the National Alliance, who calls himself the Aryan Barbarian, says Obama might be a better candidate for our cause because he's racially conscious. I give Obama credit. He seems to have stuck to his guns as far as pulling the troops out of Iraq. He's a very intelligent man, an excellent speaker, and has charisma. John McCain offers none of that. Perhaps the best thing for the white race is to have a black president. My only problem with Obama is perhaps he's not black enough. Oh, yeah. You can't make this stuff up. That's our political system. Okay, one final appeal. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Pledge your support. We have special election coverage coming up starting at 7. I want to thank everybody who has called in so far because it does make a big difference. And when this night is over, well, it's going to be another ordinary one. And we'll see you next week in a new world. Hopefully. Good night.
I was standing by the tower. I was keeping out of sight. While the children on the avenue sang their hymns to the night. There she comes around the corner. Here she comes at half past 11. Gliding slowly down the gleaming street. And we know that this is heaven. Just an ordinary night. 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 Together. But in the air I heard a song. It said you stay with me till morning. Cold eyes blinking, acid lights. I can't remember how I lost you. Now I lost your number in a fight. Just an ordinary night. Just an ordinary. Just an ordinary night. Just an ordinary night.